Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One Sabbath, after worship at the synagogue, the Pharisees gathered together to eat. Many of the rulers of the Pharisees were gathered there, and on this particular week, they included the traveling rabbi Jesus as well. He had been teaching in their synagogues, and the text says they wanted to keep a close eye on him. As the meal was about to be served, each of the rulers took their seat at the table, and Jesus took a seat as well. They had invited Jesus so that they could observe him, but it turns out that he was the one that was doing the observing. He was watching as they took their places at the table, as they positioned themselves and jockeyed among themselves so that they could take the seat of honor at the table first. Though Jesus was the greatest at the table that day, you certainly wouldn't have known it by the seat that he was in. At some point in this meal, or as it is about to be served, a man who wasn't invited by the Pharisees, who in their opinion was not worthy of a seat at their table, came in and stood before Jesus. Whether this man with dropsy, the swelling of the tissues of the flesh, was a setup and a test by the Pharisees, or just happened in the room by accident, which hardly seems believable, it doesn't matter. You know what happens when someone who is suffering and needs help comes to Jesus. Though the Pharisees are watching Jesus and now perhaps testing him with this man, he is the one who will ask the questions and teach. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? The rulers of the Pharisees, those seated in the best seats, the places of honor, had no answer for this Jesus' first question to them. How sad is it when the rulers of the Jews can't answer a theological question? If they had envisioned this dinner or this man as a test for Jesus, those who have put him to the test have just failed. Their silence at his question is consent when he goes on and heals this man. If it's unlawful to heal on a Sabbath day, then they're also guilty because they didn't say a word when he asked this question. This man sets up a conflict that Jesus has faced many times before. You see, the Pharisees had legislated that healing constituted work. Not that they could actually heal themselves, but they had seen Jesus heal, and they legislated against him. Since work was against the law on a Sabbath, and since they had deemed that healing was work, now healing is also illegal on a Sabbath. That's their opinion, their interpretation, their way to stick it to Jesus, so to speak. But the crowds had come to a very different opinion than the rulers, and their opinion is quite good. They reasoned that if the miraculous healings that they had witnessed on the Sabbath were sin, then God would not honor the sin by bringing healing to the one who was sick. But since he did bring healing to those who are sick, how could it possibly be a sin to heal on the Sabbath? Jesus didn't ask the question of the Pharisees in order to seek their permission to heal the man. He was forcing them to deal with their own bad interpretation of Scripture and with the Sabbath laws that they had created. Though they didn't answer, still they heard the truth that day, and they could not hide from it. But Jesus doesn't stop at that. He continued to teach them. Which one of you shall have a son or an ox that falls into a well and will not immediately pull him out on a Sabbath day? Don't you hate it when your hypocrisy is revealed in front of other people? That's what Jesus does. Here they're forced to realize and admit that they're not as righteous as they act or claim to be. They all knew that they would rescue their own son or even an ox on a Sabbath day. So why then is it wrong for Jesus to heal on a Sabbath? Jesus kept the Sabbath, even as he healed this man. He demonstrated God's power and mercy, and the Pharisees couldn't speak a single word. Their compassion for their own son or animals trumped their interpretation of the Sabbath laws that they demanded that others follow and that they claimed that they themselves kept. And if their compassion moved them to break a law they believed to be from God, couldn't they then understand that maybe their Sabbath laws and their interpretation was flawed? Why is it so hard to believe that the Lord and Creator of heaven and earth would not also have compassion and mercy on one of his ailing children on a Sabbath day? You see, they did not believe what God had said about the Sabbath. They didn't believe God's word. They didn't believe that the Sabbath was created for man, for man's rest in God's mercy, and not as a law to be followed or a burden to be borne. They did not see in Jesus their true Sabbath rest. They saw in the Sabbath a way to become righteous before God. They saw in the Sabbath a way to put down others that they did not like. But this is a wrong interpretation. Jesus will not let their interpretation of the Sabbath stand. And so he begins to tell them a parable. He speaks in this parable about the one who picks up the ox out of the well. They cannot dismiss his words. But the thing ends with these more powerful words. Everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. And right there in their very presence that day, they witness this take place. Isn't it ironic that the one who receives Jesus' attention at this banquet is the one that wasn't even invited to the banquet? Isn't it ironic that the man whom the Pharisees considered unclean and unworthy of God's favor is the one that God heals? Isn't it ironic that the man who was healed is least in the eyes of the Pharisees and of the world, but he is the one who is called great in the kingdom of heaven? This is a valuable lesson for us as well, a lesson that we should hear often and remember. True humility is not weakness. Outward appearances do not tell the whole story. Instead, God has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones, and he has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. If these Pharisees, these rulers of the Jews, really wanted to keep God's law, then they would have invited and tended to the poor, the sick and the suffering, who could not return the favor to them, who could not repay them for their generosity. But instead, they were worried about sitting in the seats of honor and being praised by men. Instead of trying to make a name for themselves with the talents and possessions that the Lord had given to them for them to steward, they should have quietly served and taught and generously cared for those less fortunate than them, those less educated than them. But they were not humble. They exalted themselves, and that was their only goal. They were not generous. They were greedy. The accumulation of things and power was all that mattered. They did not think of others, only of themselves. They should have read and believed God's word, but instead they used that word so long as it was to their advantage. And in this way, they rejected God's Son and his invitation and his kingdom. While they were questioning and justifying and rejecting, those they considered less worthy were hearing and repenting and being saved. You know that this text is not about what seat you take at a feast, or about whether you should rescue your son from a well or not if he falls into one. This text is about your Savior, who humbled himself, who came from heaven to earth and took on flesh and blood so that he could pick you up out of the pit of hell and exalt you to the right hand of God. This text, like so many others, is about God's mercy for sinners like you and me. This text is about the only one who truly humbles himself before the Father and who is exalted, not for his own benefit, but all for you. The Pharisees didn't tolerate or listen to Jesus for long, and after this event, they certainly didn't invite him to another dinner. They didn't make room in their thinking or in their lives for him or for his holy word that he proclaimed. Most of these Pharisees continued rejecting Jesus all the way to the cross. What about you? Have you made room for Jesus in your thinking and in your life? Is he head at your table, the head of your household? Or have you given him the lowest seat? Has his teaching and word changed the way you live and give and think? And is it the most important thing in your life? Or do you only give the word and Jesus lip service while you rely on your own wisdom and experience and strength? In this sinful world, in our sinful flesh, while we bear our crosses, we can't help but seek after our own glory and honor and trust in our own reason and strength. We know that we shouldn't, and yet we still do. We want others to see and celebrate us. We want to be the center of attention, the head of the table, the one about whom all the fuss is made. We want to be served. We want to be treated like God. But when God comes among us, when he takes on flesh and blood, he doesn't live and act as he could. He doesn't come demanding honor and praise. He doesn't act and live like we act and live. No, Jesus humbled himself, not to be served, but to serve, and to give himself as a ransom for many. He humbled himself and didn't take the highest seat at the table. In fact, he didn't take a seat at all. He humbled himself to serve at the table. He humbled himself even unto death on a cursed tree, all in order to save you. By holy baptism, you share in this humility of Jesus. You share in his cross and death, but you also share in his resurrection and life. Jesus has come into your presence, and he has taken away your sins. He has carried them away from you to his cross. He has called you and continues to call you to a life of repentance and to his life of faith. He wants you to take a seat at his wedding feast. He was not too proud or too full of himself to be associated with you and to suffer and die in your place so that you would live. Jesus teaches us what it is to love. He teaches us what it is to honor ourselves before God, to humble ourselves in his presence. Jesus teaches us that he is the only way to life and salvation. He loves you. He is Lord of the Sabbath. He is your Sabbath healing. He is your only rest. He has also invited you, you who could not repay him, to come to his feast. And he has prepared a place for you in heaven. He has gone away into heaven, and he has prepared this seat of honor for you at his feast that will never end. When the time is right, he will come again and say to every believer, "Friend, move up higher." Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin, and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through His Word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.